look back at that chapter of Luke chapter 2 that I read a few moments ago. Isn't it amazing how much prophecy came to pass in the birth of Jesus? Numerous prophecies about... There's a lot of ringing up here with this microphone, brother, if you can start working on that. Numerous prophecies about Jesus. There's the virgin birth, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, that Herod would try to eliminate Jesus by taking out all the infant boys and who were born in Bethlehem at that time, and that Joseph and Mary would take him to Egypt to escape Herod's wrath. That's just a few of the prophecies that were told hundreds of years before that were fulfilled in the birth of Jesus. God aligns everything perfectly, always, so that His will can be done. God aligns everything perfectly so that His will can be done. It was prophesied by Micah that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem, and at just the right point in history, just the right point, Joseph and Mary found themselves in Bethlehem at the precise time that Mary would give birth to the Savior. Isn't God great? And God used Caesar Augustus, a Roman emperor, to put out a decree that all the known world at that time should be taxed and that everyone was to come back to their hometown to be registered. And so that put Joseph and Mary in Bethlehem at just the right time. God aligns everything perfectly so that His will can be ultimately done. And we don't always understand sometimes the events that happen in our lives or why they happen to us. But God always aligns everything perfectly so that in the end, His will can be done. And usually we have to get past those things and look back before we can figure out why or even get an indication as to why certain things happen. But Joseph lived in Nazareth. But he was from Bethlehem, so that's where he went, back there with his new wife, Mary, who was great with child at this time. When they got there, the town was crowded with people, and they couldn't find a place to stay. No room was available. I guess Joseph didn't look at hotels.com before he went. There was no promotion of that particular website, by the way. Disclaimer there that just came to my head. But there was only one inn, actually, and it was full, so no vacancy. So they took an alternative, a stable where Jesus would be born and laid in a feeding trough for animals in a manger. Later in his life, Jesus would still find himself homeless because when his disciples later asked him, or they said to him, "Lord, I'll follow you wherever you want me to go," Jesus reminded them, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." You ever thought about that? When you look at a homeless person, especially this time of year, we kind of have a special feeling for someone that's struggling, that our Lord was homeless, actually. Sometimes we want to say that we'll go with you, Lord, wherever you go. We'll do whatever you want us to do. But do we really do that? Do we really mean that? Jesus came not in all His glory, as it was expected. He came to a young peasant couple who had no place to stay, but a stable where animals were kept. And there in that manger, the Bible says she gave birth to her firstborn. Now, there's a reason that phrase is in the Scripture, firstborn. Mary didn't have any children before Jesus, reinforcing the fact to us that she was a virgin. And also remember, if you were here last week, we studied about Gabriel's announcement to Mary that she would give birth to the Savior. And she said, "How can this be since I am a what? Virgin." If Jesus was to be the perfect Savior, then he could not be born of man whom he came to save, because man was sinless and is sinless. If Jesus was to be the perfect Savior, it could not be between the union of a man and a woman. As you recall, when the angel appeared to Mary and she asked that question, "How shall this come to me since I'm a virgin?" Gabriel said, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you." That's how that happened. Jesus, the perfect sinless Savior, born in Bethlehem, born in a manger, born to a virgin. Now, this didn't look anything like the Jews were expecting. Nothing. There wasn't a parade down the main streets of Jerusalem with the band playing and all these kinds of things. Now, Jesus was born under lowly circumstances and would be raised by a poor couple amid poor people. There's no coincidence to that either, I don't think. Because the first people to hear about Jesus were poor shepherds. The men were tending to their business in the quiet and the darkness of the night, as they always did. And then suddenly the night was brightened up by God's glory. Man, can you imagine that? Can you imagine the sky lighting up with angels? I think I'd probably be pretty scared, wouldn't you? I think something had blown up. Actually, it did blow up, right? The skies blew up with God's angels. And they announced to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Man, what did this mean exactly to them? I mean, some things had to be a little bit puzzling about that announcement. The angel said that a Savior was born, but he was wrapped up in a cloth and lying in a manger where the animals were at. What's puzzling about that? They're thinking the Messiah was a baby. There's the first one, right? And lying in a manger. You know, later Jesus referred to himself as the bread of life. I like that name for Jesus. He's the bread of life. And isn't it interesting that the bread of life's first resting place was a place where animals came to feed, came to eat. The humble shepherds, or saviors, the humble saviors' first visitors were the humblest of people, the shepherds. Now, Jesus wasn't found lying in satin sheets in a pristinely decorated mansion. Far from that. He was in a manger. 2 Corinthians 8:9 said that Jesus became poor that we through his poverty might become rich. And if you know Jesus as your Savior today, you're a very wealthy person. Very rich. You say, "Well, I don't have anything in my bank account." Guess what? I don't have much in mine either, but I'm rich. I'm rich because I know Jesus. You're rich because you know Jesus. Jesus became poor that we might through him become rich. Had Jesus came instead of a baby, if he had came as a wealthy king, like the Jews were expecting him to come, if he had came that way, how would the poor have felt about that? Well, they probably would have been intimidated. I believe I would have been intimidated. They would have felt like, you know what? He is so high and powerful that I can't possibly ever be saved. I can't possibly ever have a relationship with him. But he didn't come that way, did he? He came to the poor, and we might say the poor in spirit, right? Later, Jesus would teach that blessed are the poor in spirit, right? For those theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Later, Jesus Instead of hanging out with the wealthy, he hung out with tax collectors and sinners and lepers. The shunned, the outcast of society. He would heal the sick and cleanse the lepers and forgive the sinners. The religious leaders of that day would have nothing to do with the low people of society, would they? They shunned them. They turned their noses up at them. But Jesus came to earth as a servant to demonstrate to the world what God had done by coming to earth. He came to seek and to save those who were lost, not to minister to the healthy, those ones who were self-righteous and didn't think they needed to bow the knee to Jesus. He came to the earth to heal the sick, those who were sick in sin. Now, if the problem of sin was ever going to be resolved, it had to be God reaching down to us, because we sure couldn't reach up to Him, right? We're helpless to do anything about our sin outside of having a relationship with Christ. That is the only way that we can be right with God. That's the only road that there is to heaven. It's through Jesus. There's one thing, or there's not one thing, I would say, that you can do to go to heaven when you die, except by faith trust Jesus as your Savior and put Him in control of your life. Now, I tell you, in such a day when life is pretty much out of control, don't we need Jesus to be in control? Don't we need Him to? We sure do. Jesus stepped out of heaven and into the body of an infant so that He could save us from our sins. Do you get that today? That's what I'm understanding today. I've got to have Jesus. I must have Jesus. When the angel appeared to Joseph, he said, Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. Amen. Amen. When we could not go up to heaven to reach God, God came down to us. The shepherds heard the message of the angels, and so they had a choice to make. Out there in the dark that night, they just received this glorious, grand announcement that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Christ the Lord has been born. So, and then, you know what I wonder? After that big, big announcement, do you think that all of a sudden everything went dark again? And they were sitting there for a minute. I'll bet you they didn't say too much to each other for a minute or two, don't you? They're kind of soaking all this in. And then they had a choice to make. They just saw all of this happen. So do we stay here with the sheep in the dark? Or do we go to Bethlehem and check this thing out? And they decided to go to Bethlehem and check this thing out, right? The Bible says they went with haste to Bethlehem. Lots of people today, they hear the message of salvation. And I think probably most Americans, I would be surprised, hadn't heard something about Jesus at one time or the other, even if it wasn't much about Him, or even the wrong thing about Him. But a lot of people hear the message of salvation today, but they never respond to it, or they just choose to ignore it, or they've heard it all of their lives, so it sounds like old news. It's kind of like preachers trying to figure out what to preach on around Christmas. You keep thinking, what more can you say that everybody hasn't already heard? And we're so used to hearing the same thing if we're in church all the time. And most of our lives, we've heard it, we've heard it, we've heard it. But one thing we better not miss is when we hear an invitation, and it's from the Holy Spirit, when we hear an invitation from God, and we hear a salvation message, we better not miss that one, right? We better not just blow that off. We should, like the shepherds did, make haste to respond to the Lord. Make haste to respond to Him. After the shepherds visited the manger, they just couldn't keep quiet about what they saw. Could you? I couldn't keep quiet about that. Verse 17 said, when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They shouted it from the mountaintops, if they could find one out there. But they made known everything that they had saw and everything concerning this child. These men were the first missionaries for Jesus. We talked about missionaries a moment ago. These men were the first people witnessing for Jesus, spreading the word about their encounter with Him. Really, that's what we need to do. We don't have to have a memorized presentation of the gospel, and we're always so afraid to tell somebody about Jesus because we don't know what to say. I don't know a lot of scripture, or I may not can remember any of it, or I don't know this gospel presentation. I don't know any of these fancy things. But what we should do is just tell how Jesus has changed our life. How Jesus has changed our life. I've got a question for you. As Adrian Rogers used to say, he'd say, come up a little closer. Has Jesus made a difference in your life? Has Jesus Christ made a difference in your life? And what difference has Jesus made in your life? What difference in your life has it made because you know Jesus? Are you convinced that Jesus could change someone else's life? Are you convinced that Jesus could change your lost friend's life or your lost family member's life? Are you convinced because Jesus has done so much for you that He could do so much for someone else? How is your life different because you know Jesus? If Jesus has not changed your life, then how can you tell somebody else how He could change their life? How is that? The shepherds, of course, I realize that's a grandiose presentation they received that night, wasn't it? But they didn't waste any time telling others about Jesus. That's really, I think a lot of us when we got saved, we probably had it in us stronger than ever about telling somebody else, right? I wanted to tell someone else what happened to me when I got saved. The shepherds didn't waste any time. And they talked about, well, in verse 20 it says, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. They were praising God. They were happy. They were joyful at what had happened. Jesus should be a joy in our life 365 days a year, right? I mean, why do we wait for Christmas time to have Christmas joy? Why do we wait to have the joy of Jesus at Christmas time? That's the way it should be all the time. If you're saved, Jesus will bring joy to your heart all year. Now, I was listening to my friend Greg Belser down at Morrison Heights. I listen to him often. I can't go to church there, obviously. I'm coming to my church. But he's been going through the Beatitudes, you know, the blessed are this and blessed are that. And he said that some versions of the Bible, instead of blessed, like blessed are the poor in spirit, it'll say happy are the poor in spirit. He said, but there's a difference between happiness, talking about joy. There's a difference between happiness and joy. Did you know that you can be joyful in your heart, but you might not be too happy with life? That's right. When you know Jesus, you might not always be so happy. You know, the first thing you think when I said a moment ago, you know, if you know Jesus, you should be joyful all the time. That doesn't mean that you're going to walk around every day smiling at everybody and just skipping along through life. It's hard to do that, isn't it? It's hard to do that because we face so much junk in our life. It's hard. And I think if we did do that, everybody would think something was seriously wrong with us, right? But listen, you can have the joy of Jesus in here, whether you feel happy or not. But I will say, when you don't feel happy with life, concentrate on the joy of Jesus that you have inside. And that helps tremendously. That helps tremendously. No matter what's going on in our lives, it's the joy of Jesus I have in my heart. That's what keeps me going. It's the joy of Jesus in my heart that keeps me putting one foot in front of the other day by day. The joy of Jesus, that's what He puts in your heart when you receive Him as Savior. That baby in the manger who grew up, lived a sinless life, and that, as Sonny sang about a while ago, went to that tree and gave His life for us on the cross, so that we could be saved and we could have the joy, right? Would you stand with me? Father, we come to You, Lord, and we ask, Father, that You'd once again make the joy of Jesus so real in the lives, hearts and lives of those who've trusted Him as Savior. And Father, I pray for those today who might not feel too joyful. Maybe it's things that are going on in their life, they're just not too happy about it. I know there's often times that I find myself not happy with my surroundings. But Lord, help us when we feel that way to turn and concentrate on the joy that You placed in our hearts when we received You as Savior. That peace that only You can give, we received that when we trusted You as Savior, and we need to acknowledge that today, that there's so many things in our life that we can't control, but if we know You, You're in control. Help us, Lord, to affirm that You are the Lord of our lives. And if there's someone here today that needs to trust You as Savior this Christmas season, today would be the day. When I stand down on the floor in a moment, if someone would like to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would come and meet me down front here. Father, thank You for being here with us today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.